Okay, Ice Hay, page 321. Ice Hay in the... Well, it takes a while, but it's Kedai. Eich evshe shiye kveit hadas hatayr v'havayde b'mamodai. How's it possible that the honor of Yiddishkeit, of Torah, and Avodas Hashem, how could it be that the honor is being upheld kol zman she'enenu chosem al kveit shamayim? We don't feel the lack of and the need for Kavod Shamayim. What does that mean? Kol zman she'ein on mishtadlim she'ein yin shal hakaris elokus yis'ala b'kiveinu v'yeitzim echal regish dim yoyni kal v'rafuv. Adli de deya adira chayev etiskar v'madrega ha'oyoyna. As much as we fight to raise the glory of Limud HaTorah and of Shmiras HaMitzvahs, Rav Kook is saying, but kol zman she'ein on mishtadel, but as long as we're not making an effort, that the inyan of hakaras elokus yis'ala b'kiveinu, that the inyan of recognizing godliness, of having a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, as long as that's neglected, so then it can't be a proper covet of Yiddishkeit and of Torah and Avodah. It can't be. It sounds the same way it must have sounded odd to people then. It still sounds odd to people now, but it's no less true than it was then and it is now, and it's been a problem for a long time. That Yiddishkeit without the Ribbono Shel Olam is not complete. It's just not complete. Not only is it not complete, but there's no covet, he says. The true covet of Yiddishkeit, of Limud HaTorah, kol zman she'eino chosem al kveit shamayim, kol zman she'eino mishtadel, as long as we're not mishtadel she'einyin shel hakaris elokus yis'ala b'kiveinu, that the inyan of recognizing, of connecting to elokus, becomes stronger within us. V'yetzei mechlal regesh dimyoni kal v'rofuf. That it should no longer remain some sort of a vague feeling, some regesh dimyoni kal, some feeling that, some light feeling, an imagination, a person could be 40, 50 years old, a different person, he still thinks of God with a long white beard and big books opened and scales and stuff like this, and this whole, the whole inyan of hakaris elokus, the whole inyan of connecting to elokus is for 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, and there could be a person that knows a lot and that learns a lot and that is careful in his medaktik and mitzvahs, but the understanding of elokus is infantile. So how could they be covered hatorah when the whole Yiddishkeit, meaning the whole emunah, is only a regesh dimyoni kal v'rofuf, some light and immature and silly piece of imagination of what God is, without truly understanding what we've been given permission to understand about Hashem and who Hashem kivyochel, we can say who he is, but some we don't know. He's not knowable, but what we're allowed to know, and when the Torah tells us that we're obligated to know as much as we can, and we don't bring this out, we don't make hishtadlis adli de deya adira. Our knowledge of Hashem needs to be a deya adira, great and powerful awareness, chaya, alive, v'tiskarv l'madrega ha'alyoina, that each and every one of us has the ability to come to a madrega elyona, to a great madrega, hakaris elokus. Even a person who's not a Talmud Chacham. But al chaskama v'kama, which Rav Kook is going to talk about in a minute, the Talmud Chachamim, the tzuras ha'emes shaba, to the tzura of truth, of emes. Every single bracha was saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, we don't know who we're talking to. Could you imagine with anybody else? I mean, all right, there are people who are married for 40, 50 years. They also don't know who they're talking to. But that doesn't make it any less absurd. That's also a big rachmanis. But you're talking, you're saying every single baruch. You say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. And be'emes, if somebody were to ask you, take out a piece of loose paper and write everything you know about God. And it doesn't mean don't write what God told us to do, because that we could fill up a lot of pages. God told me this and God told me that. Don't write what God told you to do. Write about who God is. Can you imagine? Take out a piece of paper and write, what is the Baruch Shalom? Who is that? So this time of year, we would say, I know, Hashem, Hashem, Karachem, Machan, Ehuam, Hashem. You write down the 13 meters, that would get you off to a good head start. And then what? So then after you write the 13 meters, so then what? Mikal Kamoicha, so you remember there are also meters in Navi, so you write the 13 meters. So then what? Who's the Baruch Shalom? So how could they be covered for somebody? How could they be covered if you don't know them? And how could it be that our Torah mitzvah should bring glory and honor to the very Olam if we don't know for whose sake we're doing these things? We don't know who he is and what is this. So you could talk for the rest of your life about what makes a sukkah a kosher sukkah. And what's good osik and doif and akuma, and what kind of schach, and what kind of tfanis, and what kind of, and what does it mean that the tail, the shade has to be moving chamos? You could talk about these things in the halachas, but, I was talking to somebody that was describing to me in his community, the shul that they were building, and I said, and how much it cost and all this, we were talking about it, and I said, it's a tremendous, tremendous thing that your community is doing. Is a very, very big covenant. I hope that you use the shul well. So he says, what do you mean by that? Use the shul. I said, that when you sit in shul, that when you'll be in shul, that you'll have, that'll help you to have more of a kesher Takadosh Baruch Hu. We build these institutions, yeshivas and schools and shuls and mikvahs and so on. And then what? What do we? And then what? There was a person I was talking to on the phone, an administrator type. So I had something with a kid. So he asked me, what kind of programming do we have in the shul? I wasn't sure what he meant. I said, we have Shachris, then we have a Minchim, we have Marv. No, what kind of programming? I said, we tried to learn a little bit, and then Shabbos we tried to a little bit more. To do things, programming, different kind of programs, different kind of things and events and so on. I'm not saying that a shul doesn't need that. That's not a nice thing or whatever. But the ikkar program of a shul, I know it sounds silly to say, but the ikkar program of a shul is shifti v'es Hashem, is achas shalti v'es Hashem, oisav v'akei, shifti v'es Hashem kol yimei chayai. Did anybody ever ask David Melech, what programming do you have in I mean, to imagine to ask David Melech, in this place I make this, what, what's it called? A scholar in residence, you have any scholars in residence, you have, what do you have, like, you have, is it Tom Shoshacha, is it Tom Shaban Harbai, there's different Karbanis, there's an Avaida. And the whole avodah is to have as kashrus for the Bari Oila. Well, other things, okay, it's nice. All the other things that they have to make from shuls is because the ikkah is chosam and hasayif. You understand? Or else, why would the shul exist? If the shul doesn't exist for the sake of having a kashrus to the Bari Oila, they have to find some other reason that they spent $4 million to put up this thing. So, what are the other reasons? It's called programming. But the ikir is our Kaddish Baruch Hu. So what covet is there for Kaddish Baruch Hu? What covet is there for Kaddish Baruch Hu? If you don't know him, and you don't know who you're speaking to. And we build these magnificent places, and then we don't know what to do with them. I mean, we daven at them, but we don't know who we're talking to. With Tzuras HaEmes Sheba, the Tzuras HaEmes of Yiddishkeit. And Mimela Teroimim is called Atolibor. And if we lift that up, in other words, if we are able to lift up our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everything else will be lifted up with it. How could it not be? How could it not be that if a person has a stronger kesher with Hashem, that when he sits in his sukkah in Baruch Hashem, he has a kosher sukkah, how could it not be if he's sitting b'tzeilu de mehemnusa, b'tzeilu de kodesh Baruch Hu, sitting in the shadow of the Bari Olam, what that means, tzeilu de kodesh Baruch Hu, tzeilu de mehemnusa, what does it mean? If you don't know what it means, then what is it? What's the hashvas hashchin of the sukkah? What's the hashvas hashchin with the tzaddikim that they couldn't take themselves out of the sukkah and they were kissing the defunas of the sukkah? We understand that you go to the hardware store, you pick something up, or you order something online and they deliver it, and a couple of guys hack and knock a little bit, and you come outside and there's a sukkah, and then you feel like kissing the walls. Why is there a kiss the walls? Because it's a kosher sukkah. So what does it mean, a kosher sukkah? What does it mean, hashvas hashchin? What does that mean? So it's possible to be a person who could write a very, very learned scholarly discourse on the kashas of a sukkah, but feels nothing when he's in the sukkah except the excitement of how this is a fulfillment of all of his lumdas, how the sukkah worked out. But as far as Kutcher Brichu Shchemtei and Emuna, who's the Inyan of Emuna. So if one lifts up one's understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimela Terayim is called Atolibah. Mimela, everything else that depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lifted up. HaTorah Kula V'chol HaMitzvahs Kulam. All of Torah and all of Mitzvahs are lifted up. Ben Av Lamakim, Ben Av Machaveroi. Hamaisis v'machshavs v'machshaviyos. The mitzvahs maisis are lifted up, the practical mitzvahs, things that we have to physically do, the mitzvahs maisis, and the mitzvahs of machshava, such as emuna, ahavas Hashem, ahavas Yisrael, kriyishma, tefillah. Of course, there are physical acts in saying the words of kriyishma, and saying the words of tefillah. And Ahavas Yisrael, there's also, of course, the Avaida of what you have to do with your Ahavas Yisrael to help and to do things for people. But what is the Indian of the Ahava? What's the Ahavas Yisrael? Why should you love a Jew more than you love any other person? Why? Because he's a member of your tribe? That doesn't sound so nice. That sounds snobbish. What's the meaning of Ahavas Yisrael? To understand what it means that all Jews are mamash aguf echa, what the Tzemach Tzedek writes about in the Echad Tzedek, the meaning of Ahavas Yisrael. What does it mean to be that? What does it mean to be b'nei kel chai, to be the children of the living God? What does that mean? If you don't know who the Kel Chai is, what thing do you have with another Jew? Why should you care about him more than somebody else? I'm not talking about your friend. I'm talking about some Jew that you never met in your life. What's the inyan of Ahavas Yisrael? If you don't know who the Rebbeinu Shalom is, what's the inyan of Ahavas Yisrael? If you don't know the father, then how's that guy your brother? And what does that mean? You could say all the time. In Eretz Yisrael, the secular Jews, they should be well. They all say also the word Achi, Achi. It became brother. I saw it became popular now in Eretz Yisrael. Last few times I was there, that even the people are not from, that they talk in a warm way. That's a nice thing. They say, Achi, my brother. It's beautiful. Well, what does that mean to my brother? Means that we have the same father. Who's the father? What does it mean to be a brother without a father? these are all, so all of the mitzvahs, mitzvahs ma'isis, ben on the mokav and l'chaveru, all the mitzvahs ben on l'chaveru also. Such people think to be, that there's such a thing as ahavis Yisrael without the Ribono Shel Olam, or ahavis Yisrael without a deep emunah. Sure, you could be wonderful, you could be nice, you could be caring, you could be giving, but the emes and penimius, what it means, ahavis Yisrael. Shekulam tulios b'hakaras alakos hachasuma b'knesses Yisrael. All of the mitzvahs depend on hakaras alakos, on awareness, a recognition, a feeling of godliness, which is chasuma, which is the seal of Am Yisrael, which is sealed in the essence of who we are. Mimena alakol, and from there it reaches out to every single part of our lives, to everything in our lives. How great and how terrible is the tzara? Shadvarm hagdoilim hisyashnu etzleinu, that the big things have become old and stale by us. Shadvarm hagdoilim hisyashnu etzleinu, they've become old. Ade shalinav lifnois lahem, so we don't really have a desire to turn to them anymore. Not really so interested in them anymore. We delude ourselves into thinking that we've already that these big things have already been fulfilled. Just because they were taught, they were said by great, great tzaddikim many hundreds of years ago. So there are all kinds of things that we do, not just the actual deraisas and derabanans, but we have beautiful, beautiful minhagim, all different kinds of minhagim, many, many customs. They were instituted by great tzaddikim, and that obviously Hashem wanted to come down to be revealed, because they spread in different parts of Klal Yisrael, whether by the Sfardish and among the Sfardim, the different kehilas of the Sfardim, and by the Chassidim, and by the Bnei Yeshivas. There were different customs that were brought down from Shemayim by tzaddikim years ago, but they've become just a matter of habit, and they're old, and we feel that just by doing them, which is good, of course, to do them, we feel that by doing them, that we fulfilled their purpose. That as if these menhagim came down mamish with the blood of the tzaddik and the menhagim. It's not stam. We have these different things. When it comes to the nanuma of the lulav, right? Nanuma, the movements of the lulav. It's not just a minik, of course. It's more than a minute. But the seid of the nanum is rooted more in minhagim, but the inyan of the nanum, of course, is not a minute. But the different tnuas, the different movements, a lot of it is rooted in minhag. The tzaddikim mamish brought these things into the world with mamish, with their blood, to help us and to make all kinds of tikkunim in the universe. But if a person doesn't know what's the nafki mina, whether you go to the right or to the left, you go forward or up or down, a person doesn't know what's the nafki mina between mizrach and ma'ariv. What's the meaning of shechina b'ma'ariv? What does it mean the shechina is b'ma'ariv? What's the shechina b'ma'ariv? What's the nanuam? What does it mean, the movement? The people stand in shul, they move like, I don't know. It's a holy thing. It's just the movements themselves. Of course, everything is very, very meaningful and significant. But people think that the whole thing of this is just to do it. And even though that's, of course, the most important thing is to do what you have to. But these menhagim that were brought down and that came to us over the years from Gedolim, they've become old and they've become stale, and they've just accepted it as like as a part of life.
But what we heard from all the kadmainim, from all of the tzaddikim, was that the tachlis of everything is grasping Hashem. The tachlis of all of our mitzvahs, of all of our menhagim, of everything, is to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to the koyach of each person. Shamanu. We heard all of these things.
And the people who taught us these things were great, great tzaddikim. And we all believe in them, gedolim haim lanu, and we accept all of them as being great tzaddikim. But the same tzaddikim who taught us, who somehow brought down this nusach of davening and this minug, those same tzaddikim taught us that the tachlis of all of those minhagim and the tachlis of all of our davening, the tachlis of everything we do is dveikus b'Hashem. That's all they wanted from those menhagim. What else did they want? All of those things were to help bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Aval ma anu aysem, what do we do? V'chit sa'adnu lova l'midazu? Have we taken any steps to come closer to this? What all of them wanted. But they all wanted. But the tachlis of all that they wanted, the tzaddikim, was hasogas Hashem, was kivas Hashem. So we've taken the things that they wanted us to do, but we haven't taken the tachlis of why we're doing these things, which is hakaris Hashem. Have we taken steps to come to this mid of Hakaras Hashem, of Asogas Elokus, of Kivas Hashem, with all of these minhagim? That's why many people who are very, very sincere, and they especially have a lot of young people, they just say, what am I doing all these things? So everybody's going to go running, everybody's running now before Yom Kippur to find a chicken, the Shlaka Paris. Which is an improvement. When I was growing up, there were very few people outside of Brooklyn or Muncie, whatever, that were slugging kapars with chickens. I remember when I was a kid, I went with my father. We had to reserve a chicken, and we would go in the back of Meal Mart on Main Street. Only a few people in the whole Queens were slugging kapars with a chicken. Now you could probably slug a price with a chicken on the computer. I don't know how, you know, with a Wii? The Wii. You know the game that they play tennis, the Wii? Do all those things? You could stand in front of a computer and go. Why not? If you could hit baseball on a computer, you could also slug a price. It's cleaner, it's safer. There were people that they were advertising already a few years, some sugar, and they advertised about having rachmanis on chickens. They're crazy people. So you can have here, we can make all of the animal lovers happy, and we'll make you could have a program, and you do on the computer, you stand in front of the computer, and you shlok kaparos. Zechalifasi, zechamarosi, zechabarosi. And then you send a check to tzedakah, and it could be very, very nice. Virtual kaparos make over the computer. So everybody's nervous about the kaparos. People get so nervous about these things with the kaparos, and with the and so they're not doing with the chicken. So now there's Baruch Hashem. Oh, I know the chickens are wondering what happened over the years. That what happened? We used to be it was a relatively safe time. We felt we had a little bit more time to live. Now. In the film communities, kaparis caught on. It's amazing how certain things how caught on. I'm telling you, when I was a kid, there were in the whole Queens, where there were a lot of from people. The whole Queens, there were a handful of Jews that shlugged kaparis with a chicken. In Europe, everybody did. In the Sephardic countries, everybody did. And it's good that they're doing it now again with the chickens. It's good. But this Indian, like, to shlok kaparis, that if you don't get your chicken, it's like, if you don't get your kaparis, it's not going to be a good year, chas v'shalom. Don't think that I'm in any way minimizing the significance of kaparis. I take it very, very seriously. But what's the tachlis? And you can't help but think sometimes that the chicken's wondering himself when he's drawing over your head. The chicken's wondering, for this guy I have to go through this. For this person I have to go through this. I was minding my own business. I don't mind, you know, if a tzaddik picks me up and shlugs kaparas with me, other rabbits, it should be a kapara for me too. But I have to be shlugged by this guy? He's shlugging, shaking me around. And people can stand by kaparas also, joking around and socializing, and men and women, v'chulu, by kaparas. The same way with tashlich, which I haven't gone to tashlich in already over 40 years, I haven't gone to tashlich. I mean, I go to Tashlich, of course, but I don't go in Rosh Hashanah Tashlich. I go, I say some yeshuva just with my family. But when I was 15, something like that, 16. So we go to Flushing Meadow Park. When did I stop doing that? We would go on Rosh Hashanah to Flushing Meadow Park. I stopped going because 1 year after Tashlich, 1 year I walked, I lived in Hillcrest. That's like a, you know, Jewel Avenue, 169th Street, that's where we live. And we'd walk to Flushing Meadow Park. You know Queens Mistam a little bit, so we went to Flushing Meadow Park. How long does that take? Oh, 20 minutes, I don't know about that. It's not so far. But 1 year I went with my chaver, we walked to Flushing Meadow Park, and I got to Tashlich by the lake, by where it used to be the World's Fair. And there were hundreds, maybe more than hundreds of Jews that were there for Tashlich. And I was there, and I was talking that. And I was already back, I went all the way back to Main Street, and I remember I said to my friend, I never said Tashlich. I never said Tashlich. I didn't say Tashlich. I just went to Tashlich and I was hanging out. I met friends of mine and the guys and girls who were talking, and then I just walked back. And then at Main Street, I looked at him and both of us, I said, well, we never said anything over there. I mean, we said Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, but it wasn't Kiddush Levana, you know, it was Tashlich. I don't know. So we walked back, and I remember other people coming back and say, hey, what's going on, Maishi? I said, I just forgot something. That's what he said. Why are you going back to Tashlich? Tashlich Sheni Shogolius. No, we're going back. We went back to Tashlich. We were already by Main Street. We walked back to the park. Forgot to say Tashlich. V'tashlich, fi, v'tahurig v'yavah. Yidin will go to Tashlich. Men and women together. Which if they knew that by doing that, that they're picking up more sins that they're throwing out. But this minig, such an Indian of Mesiris Nefesh. So, Mistama comes from a holy place, of course, inside Jews. Everything that Jews do intuitively comes from something that's holy. And I'm not making fun, God forbid, of saying Tashlich. But Hakaras HaBoire, what do you think? You go to the water, what happens over there? So you say, you come to the water, so people think, you know, you throw something into the water and it's going to be a good year. Why do you say the 13 meters by water? And what's the meaning of the 13 meters? Who is he? And what is this Indian? I'm not talking about what's the lumdus of Kaparis and what's the lumdus of Tashlich. Who, what? So how could it be covered? That's what I'm saying. It becomes something that's not Bekovedic. It's not Bekovedic. It's empty. That's what Rav Kook is saying. Why do they want us to do all of these things? We don't find, of course, Tashlich is not found anywhere in Shas, such a thing. It's not found in the Gemara anywhere. Tashlich is much later. And it's a very, very great and holy thing. But what is it? To write a scholarly discourse on the origins and the meaning of Tashlich. When you say, you go and you say Tashlich is the 13 meters. And after you say the 13 meters, by water. And Dafku should be water, hopefully where their HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Brias are living and breathing inside the water. But what's the Indian? What is Hashem, what do we get, how do we get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by going to the water and saying some words standing by the shore? How do you get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How does the more have HaKaros HaBoirei by Tasha? How do you get more of HaKaros HaBoirei by slugging a chicken over your head? What's the kapara? What does that mean? Is it Khalifasi, is it Tomos, is it Kaparasi? What does it mean? Khalifasi, Tomosi, Kaparasi. How could that be? What does it mean? If we don't take it seriously, and if it's not in Yivakar Zabari, then it becomes something which is, unfortunately, could actually be silly. You could have giggling and carrying on. You can go to kapparas, and again, forgive me for saying something that sounds like it's politically incorrect. You can go to kapparas, you can find women that they're standing with hardly more clothing than the chickens wearing. You can find women going to kapparas like that. You go to kapparas, and there are women that are not dressed properly. So how could that be? How could it be? It's because it's kapparas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without the Baruch Shalom, without Hashuas HaShechina. So then what is it? It's a shlachta, it's a Sunday outing, it's fun. The kids get a kick out of it, everybody's screaming and jumping and running around, and the chickens and all that. So, because there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no Baruch Shalom, so what is kapparas? And you're hoping that no guy passes by and sees what Jews are up to. Because if you don't know what it is, then it looks silly, it looks crazy, it looks embarrassing to us. Taking the chicken. And it's hard to blame people that they felt uncomfortable with that, and they go with money. Even though it's better to go with the chicken, of course it's better. But what happens to the minig? So who were the gedolim that brought this down? These were great people. Why did they bring this inyan down? That they had a ruach hakodesh that the Ratzon Hashem was that Ev Yom Kippur, that a Yid does that. That Ev Yom Kippur, Yid shlogs kapparos. The whole inyan that they had in that was Hasagas Adore, was Dveikas Bashem. Not a Sunday outing. Fun. The whole thing to do is Dveikas Bashem. But if it's just Stam, and it's disconnected from what the Tachlis was, then what is it? So then you can understand why a woman would go there with not being dressed properly. The same you can go to shul not being dressed properly. You have nowadays that my wife told me that there are women and girls that walk into shuls with what we used to wear on the beach. What's it called? The shoes, the flip flops. They walk into shul like that too. We have girls that walk into shul wearing those like they're going to a pool. They're good girls. They're nice girls. They don't mean anything bad. But al kedei kach, is there a separation between what the shul is for and what? And part of that has to do, by the way, with all the programming, because once there became this thing of having a Jewish center, which obviously Jews had to be, it's good for Jews to hang out in a place that they should be together, and in America that became a very, very important thing. They didn't have programming in Munkach, you understand? They didn't have stuff like that in Munkach. They didn't have the Memorial Day barbecue. The shulus for davening, shulus for davening, for learning, but and yidden on their own used to hang out by shul. They used to sit in shul to chapa shmuz and to daven and to learn and chaverim to talk a little bit. It's important for Jews to hang out by shul. It's important. But that became a very, very, very big thing. Obviously, in America, it became a huge thing. Why? Because in America, back in the 40s and the 50s, they were just worried about marrying out. At least this way, boys and girls would be in shul. They'd meet each other. It would be a place where Jews would socialize, and it became an important part of the shul to provide outlet for people for chevra to get together. And davening was no longer it, because davening was not really as important as it once was. And the inyan of davening and a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu was not the reason that people were going to shul. So it was important to make the shul into a place where the kids would come. Because this way, they come to shul. There's a Jewish boy, the Jewish girl, Mr. Cohen, Mr. and Mrs. Schwartz, and we can make a conversation. And we can make a shidduch and get things going over here. At least the Jews will stay together. And from this, it became, the whole, from the Jewish center, of Moshe Lu Parkway or something, it ended up becoming, even in from Bat HaMidrash, it ended up becoming also such a thing. To find a way to keep Jews somehow that they should come to shul. The Baruch Shalom was not any more the main attraction. So shuls began to have swimming pools. When I was a kid, there was a conservative temple not far from us on Union Turnpike, and we used to go. The Frum kids, we used to go. We used to pay. I remember it was a lot. It was a dollar we had to pay. We were able to use the pool. They had this magnificent swimming pool in this conservative temple. And my father always said, don't go look into anywhere else. Don't go in. Just go straight downstairs to the pool. Well, we don't have to look. We saw the temple. But there was a pool. It was a swimming pool in a shul. It's a funny thing, now, if you think about it. I mean, we don't think about it. It's a funny thing to have a swimming pool. There was also a schwitz. There was a schwitz. No mikveh. There was a schwitz. There was a schwitz. He used to go to the schwitz. Yeah, my father would go on Sunday to the schwitz. Sure. How could you have a shul without a schwitz? You can't have a shul without a swimming pool. What you're missing is miniature golf. But where did it come from, such a thing? Yiddishkeit without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that carried over, so that was a conservative temple, but that has, no, it carries over into everything. Once a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not there, then what's the covet of Yiddishkeit? What's the covet of Yiddishkeit? So Rav Kook is saying, these are great people that taught us these things. Avama anu aysim, v'chitzadnu lov l'midazu, v'chim v'chapsim anu aytzes lov l'hasogas Hashem Esborach. Are we searching for aitzes? Those tzaddikim spent all their lives, of course, with the Torah mitzvahs, and looking for aitzes, because over the years, you need new aitzes. You always need new aitzes, just like in a marriage. You need new aitzes to keep a marriage alive. So with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what a minhagim? Minhagim are new aitzes. How to keep Yiddishkeit from getting chas v'shalom, from feeling old. So new aitzes. You have to always look for new aitzes. In every relationship, you need to have new aitzes. Friends also, there needs to be aitzes about how to spend some time together, to go somewhere, whatever. They have to be aitzes. The mitzvahs are called aitzes. Tayag eaten, tayag mitzvahs, the zoyas are aitzes of how to connect to Hashem's Baruch. So these tzaddikim, they were always searching for aitzes of how to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the question was, v'chim mechapsim anu aitzes lov l'asogas Hashem's Baruch. Are we really looking for aitzes of how to get closer to Hashem? According to our ability, are we really looking for aitzes? For kivas Hashem? Hem oiskim anu b'chiv hanimrutz l'fizeh lahadlas ayichaylas? And are we honestly busy? Are we honestly occupied with trying to find ways to strengthen our ability? To increase our yechaylas for dveikus b'Hashem. So if Cook, like you hear Mamish the pain in this, he says, Leinucha lachshayis. He says, we can't be silent. V'loinachashay, we're not going to be silent. Shemayim ve'aretz narish. Hazinu shemayim v'adeberev, zish maretz emeifi. He says, we're going to, shemayim ve'aretz narish, we're going to shake up heaven and earth. We have to shake up heaven and earth. We have to make a tumult. We have to make an earthquake. We have to nari shemayim v'aretz. The chokhma ha'emuna muchrachas hi loshev lios nolmedes b'Yisrael. The chokhma of emuna must once again be learned among Jews. We must learn emuna. We must learn Pnimius HaTorah, the Svarim HaKadoshim. Emuna. Chochmas emuna muchrachasi lo shev lios nolmedes b'Yisrael. Muchrachasi. Barachove, in an expansive way, the kviyas, not just every now and then, the kviyas, every single day, the kviyas in every yeshiva, in every school, all of us in our lives, every single day, the simcha with great joy, the tahara with pureness, kimei oylem uchashanim kadmanias, as it always was in the earlier years. And kosh al karech hasel l'zayin. It's become unbearable. Rav Kook says, I can't bear it anymore. Kosh al karech hasel v'ein yicholos la'atzer od. I can't bear holding this in anymore. It's become
unbearable being silent about this. Haneshama muchrachas lisparetz el hamercha. The neshama must explode out of its confinement into merchav. Min hameitza karosika. That's where you hold the shayfa that way. So you hold on the small side, and the sound comes out from the big side, and that's min hameitza karosika. Min hameitza karosika anani bamerchavka. That's what we say we'll build the shayfa. Min hameitza, from that small narrow place, it has to explode into a big place. It has to come out through the shayfa. It can come out. Lubavitcher Rebbe Sussi, when he used to always give a bracha this time of the year, he used to write in a lot of the letters, he used to give a bracha that to the person that you should be able to be yoytze min hameitza el hamerchav. What a beautiful bracha. That you should be able to get out of the confinement into the open space of Avodas Hashem. Shetizke lotzeis min hameitza el hamerchav. He used to give a lot of times that bracha. A meitzar el hamerchav, from smallness to bigness, from confinement to freedom, to being open. That is a very, very, very big bracha. That's something that we need very, very badly. Tzibig Rachmanis when the Baal Tekeah can't make a sound, no? Were you ever in a shul? It's a terrible thing. Everybody feels bad when the Baal Tekeah stands there and he's he's trying his geitnish, and it's not going. It's terrible, and everybody wants to help him. Everybody feels terrible about it, and not only that, but we get nervous. And it's chalila, it's a bad simon, that the tekiyas are not coming out, that they're stuck in that place, and the tekiyas are not coming out. Why is everybody getting so nervous? Because the neshama knows that it's terrible to be stuck in a meitzar, not to be in a merchav. The neshama knows that it's terrible being in such a small place. It's terrible. It's terrible not to be able to go and to be in a big place. To live a bigger life. It's terrible. Nobody wants to be in the meitzar. And everybody is so excited to come to Tekiyah Shofar. On so many levels. All the children, everybody comes for Tekiyah Shofar. The neshama carries the guf. The neshama carries the guf. The guf doesn't want to go. The guf wants to remain in the meitzar. And the neshama carries the guf to come to Tekiyah Shofar because the neshama is chalishing to go min hameitzar el hamerchav. That's all the neshama wants, is to go min hameitzar el hamerchav. The guf is such a meitzar. The body is such a prison. The body is such a meitzar. It makes it so small and silly. I think we're holding now, it says, Sarasi Meit Shuvah. What's the merchav in our way of thinking and feeling? Shabbos Shuva. Rav Kook wrote in his poem, Merchavim, Merchavim, that all he was looking for in life was Merchavim, Merchavim, openness and expansiveness. The neshama, haneshama muchrachas lisparetz al merchav. Sometimes you get with the Baal Tekeah that he didn't have the right spot, and it wasn't going. And then there's a Siyata Dishmai, and he gets that spot. Anybody who blows shofar knows that there's that spot. There's that one spot. There's that one spot when the mouth connects to the shofar. And when you get to that connection, then it comes out. But not just it comes out. It comes out easy, and it's a machaya. It comes out without creases. Comes out beautiful. But you have to get that spot. You have to get just the right combination between the tongue, the lips, and the shofar. And when it hits that spot, then it's no longer gekvetched, then it just goes easy. Unless the shofar is a sixer, sometimes you have a shofar that's not healthy. But if the shofar is well, and the person is well, then when you get to that spot, then it comes out such a tekiyah, a shwarma. When that happens, then everybody feels so good. It's such a clear tekiyah. And it doesn't just come out then sometimes you can get out, even if you don't have that spot, you don't have a choice. What are you going to do? You have the people that are standing there. So sometimes the Baal Tekeah, All right, in Elul, obviously, you don't have to make a big deal about it. By Shoshana, you have to be more careful. But sometimes it's not really going. So he gets out. You know when it comes out like this, it comes out. It comes out like, you know, not. He never found the spot. So he's able to, by just pushing and forcing, he gets out something of the sound. But it sounds worse than the animal when it was shechted. That's not how it's supposed to be. But when it comes out from the right spot, like an explosion. That's a tekiyat shofar. It comes out, an explosion. There was a Lubavitcher Yid by the name of Siegel. This goes back to the time that the British, maybe you know this, that the British were controlling the Kaisa. And the Koishi Jews were able to get to go daven there. And the whole place of the Kaisel was very, very tsar. It was only a tiny area. And the biggest rule that they made, the British, was that Jews are not allowed to blow shofar. Especially Matzim Kippur, to blow the shofar Matzim Kippur, because if you blow the shofar, then the Arabs, it's going to make the Muslims upset. And nobody wants to get the Muslims upset. You see what happens when you get the Muslims upset. It's very, very bad. They get very hurt if you say something bad about Muhammad. And then they killed people because they got hurt and they were insulted. So the British were afraid that the Muslims are going to be insulted, the Jews are blowing the shofar by their mosque. So they made a very, very strong rule, and for years there was no tekiyat shofar by the Kaiser. And because they got permission to daven, their few Jews would go daven, but they couldn't blow shofar. So there was this Lubavitcher, there was a meiser with him. That he was a bacher. He was a bacher, and he was obviously a fiery guy, and he had enough of this. And he said that he decided that Matzim Kippur at the end of davening, at the end of Nila, he's going to blow shofar. Now the British had there dozens and dozens of police to make sure the Jews don't blow shofar. Obviously, it's a bigger union in Ruchnius why everybody's afraid of shofar. The reason that the Goyim are afraid of shofar is because they're afraid of not the shofar cotton, they're afraid of the shofar gadol, the kabbish shofar gadol. K'day la'abrev is a satan, that the satan gets nervous when he hears the shofar. Could be Mashiach. And there's a big union. And therefore, that the British have to be worried, and the Muslims, that they have to make their police to stop Jews from blowing the shofar. There shouldn't be, especially the tekiyah after Ne'ilu, which is the union of Yovel, when everybody goes free, and the whole Narishkeit is finished, and everything goes back the way it's supposed to be. That's the union of blowing the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. It's mamash a tekiyah of Tchias HaMeisim of Yovel. So they did whatever they could to make sure this doesn't happen. So this year, this Lubavitcher Siegel, he went over to a married guy, and he said, "Can I have your talis?" The guy didn't know why does the bacher need a talis. He gave him his talis. It was at the end of Neil. He gave him his talis, and Siegel puts the talis on. He wraps it around himself, and there was a shamus there, somebody that, and Siegel went over to him and he asked him, "Where's the shofar?" And the guy was afraid to even take him to it. He just looked at a certain shtender, that inside that shtender, there's a shofar, and he went like that. And everybody, they were looking at Siegel, and they got nervous, and he went over, and he went to the thing, and he put the shofar under the talus. That's why he put on the talus, hide the shofar, and he stayed in there, and then it was the end of Nila, it was by Nila, and Siegel goes there, and he takes out, with all the soldiers over there, he takes us out, and he goes, "Woo!" He gives out a big tekiya, mamish like that, he blows the shofar. All the British came, they pounced on him, they started beating him, and they dragged him to jail. They took him to jail, and they said the Siegel's mom is smiling the whole time they were beating him up, and they took him to jail, and he hadn't broken his fist, and they put him into a cell, and he was there for quite a few hours till the middle of the night. What was happening was that he found out afterwards that Rav Kook went to the police, and Rav Kook, because Rav Kook heard about this, and Rav Kook went to the police,
And Rav Kook said, I'm not eating until you free him. I'm not eating. And go tell that, because soon the whole world is going to know that the chief rabbi is not eating because you have a Jew in jail because he blew a trumpet. So you're going to have, the whole world is going to know about this in a few hours. I'm not eating until you free him. And that's how he got out. And after that, it became an Indian that by the Kaisel, every Yom Kippur, there would be a Yid that would blow the shofar, and the British would put him in jail, and then they would let him right out. But that was the minig. That became the minig. Like Tashlich and Kaparis, and then he came. And this putting the guy in jail, and then letting him out from jail. The British are very proper, as you know. So they put him in, let him out. But that became the minig by the Kaisel until the Muhammad. But here, this Yid couldn't be in the Meitzer anymore. He was a hero. He was a gibor. He says it's already must speak. That we're going to live like this, Jews. At our place, at the Har HaBayis, we're going to live like this, crushed. And it's bad enough that we have to get stuck in between two walls like that, like mice. And that we should be in a Meitzar. It's a noni bamerchavka. And he did that with Mesivus Nefesh. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. They could have killed him. There's nobody near Yehoi Vayavra blowing the shofar. He went because why? He went with this feeling. It comes a time. That's what Kook is saying. Koshal karchasel ve'ini cholos latzor. I can't hold back anymore. The neshama must explode. It must burst out into the merchav. It can't stay locked up anymore. She tisparitz b'leisedarim. But then Rav Kook says, but oh, this is what we were learning earlier. He says, but when it comes out like that, an explosion, then it comes out below Sadarm. What does it mean below Sadarm? It can come out in very crazy ways. It can come out in a very, without Seder, because it's been locked up. When you're locked up, like you have someone that's locked up for a long time, when he's free, he could get ruined by that, you know. You have these prisoners that they're in jail for many, many years. The worst thing for them is when they free them, they don't know what to do with their lives. Many of them, I once read an article about it in college, that many of them, that they long to be back in, they want to go back to be in prison. I'm not saying somebody was there for a year or two, but somebody was there for a long time. They're not mistader outside. Even though the whole time all they were dreaming about was being free, but then they don't know what to do with that. Because when they're free, it's without any say there. Kshetesparetz b'leis dar. So the neshama is chalishing to break out, but when it breaks out, it could be without storm. Below menahel or machzik biyadeh, without anybody to guide the neshama and to help the neshama. Now, what Rav Kook is going to be talking about here is how we have to have tzaddikim who are free, who are on the outside of the jail, who will help the prisoners when they get out. But what's going to be with the generation when the tzaddikim themselves are prisoners? If you have people, tzaddikim, who are free, and they're on the outside, they're in the merchav, then when the neshamas break out, when the prisoners get out, then the tzaddikim who are free can help them, to be misada them, and to show them how to live in this way of the neshama, in a normal, healthy way, not crazy. Not that it should go into, God forbid, into tumah, into bad things. But what happens with the generation of the tzaddikim themselves are also in prison. Below menahel ma'asi b'yadeh, tifna oref el kol avadeh seha tzaris. Then the neshama is going to turn its back on all of the work that it felt that it was doing while it was in a place of tzaris, of narrowness. Meaning what? When the neshama explodes, Rav Kook was afraid that Jews, when the neshama is going to come out of prison, then Jews are going to stop putting on tefillin. They're going to stop keeping Shabbos. He was right. They're going to stop keeping Shabbos. They're going to stop putting on tefillin. They stop going to the mikveh. They'll stop keeping halacha. Because they associate what? They associate the years in prison with tefillin, Shabbos, and mikveh. And kashrus. And limud Torah. They associate that with the prison. So Rav Kook says that what happens when they break out of prison? He says, if there's not anybody to help them and to direct them, tifna erif akol avados hatzoris, they're going to turn their backs on what they thought was the avoid of the work that they were doing, the slave labor while they were in prison. In the prison of what? Of the narrowness of a life that's just purely a life of halacha without any neshama. Then when they're free, what's going to be with them? The first thing they're going to throw away, as many Jews did, is the tefillin, and the neshama explodes. So what happened when Jewish neshamas did that? That's what happens. It happens and it happens. It happened and it happens.
Zoisi ahisparsus achelonis. Shall see look mishkal achaim. This is a sickness that comes out with the breaking out, with the explosion, with the mishkal achaim, where the scale of life of knowing what's important and more important, less important, is lost. So they don't know how important tefillin are, and how important Shabbos is, and how every din is important. The whole mishkal achaim is lost. The whole way of weighing life is lost, and things in life, because why? Because the neshama just explodes, and the person's like, he's free. You see how with many revolutions and many people are free, and what happened, even with the liberation of concentration camp, how many Yidden Nebuch, but afterwards, what they went through in terrible service, what they went through after liberation, when many, many people died also, mostly after liberation. Kiroya Edra Yira, Bizraya Kabbis Teloim, Bechaiko Yisa, Laisi Nahal, says that we're asking, we need Hashem. Hashem is a shepherd, that he, with his arms, he takes care of the sheep, and he guides the nursing animals. You know, the Hashem takes care. You need tzaddikim, you need great people that could guide and help, like Hashem, to help us and to guide us. Just one more second. Sharim niftach lova behem b'merchavim. We need to open, let's open up gates b'merchavim. Let's open up gates to the big places, to a big Yiddishkeit. But it needs to be b'sdorim, b'seder, b'hashkeit, in a quiet and refined way, ubebitcha, with secure, with a feeling of security and confidence, ha'avoda hamugbelis techubad lefi gadol ercha, and in that way, putting on tefillin, keeping Shabbos, going to the mikveh kashas, will be even more respected and more honored. Lefi gadol ercha, and will be appreciated by the neshama, will be appreciated more for what it really is, what it means to put on tefillin, what it means to keep every single dot and dash in Shulchan Aruch, will be even greater. Not that it will be thrown away because the neshama is free. Adrabba, the neshama will be directed to connect to that world of tefillin and Shabbos. And we have a shidduch. Aval agaba tu'utar havayda harachava, but the crown of all of our mitzvahs, the crown of our observing halacha will be ha'avoda ha'chava, the expansive avoda of Dveikus b'Hashem, ha'karos Hashem, she'nishmas elokim chayim, misracheves al yoda, where the living soul of God is misracheves, expands through this great avodas Hashem. Usually a chasima, a seal, is something that confines and holds in. It's only the chasima of Yom Kippur that frees a person to become who he needs to become. A chasima, it should be a chasima taiva. That should be featured in every one of us, a gemar chasima taiva.